Nemo Sinis Nemon. From A Taste of Ismenian Water. By M.J. Bradley. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 37. Tilting at Windmills. Bright glass and bronze lanterns floated over the chairs and the broad braziers flickering white flames. Faint shadows dappled the bare limestone walls, pooling dark beneath the alcoves and arches.
Violet,
Vere rasped.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Vere. Harry dropped into a seat. What is it?
Louise is away, meeting with those above us, discussing what's going on in the Caribbean. The United States was unhappy that a team of their Oros vanished on our territory.
Tell them it was the British.
We did,
she said.
Of course.
Was that it? Harry asked.
We have used your memory to narrow our field.
Vera pressed her hands to her throat.
Corsica.
His breath caught. Where?
We don't know yet.
Vera tucked her wand out and pressed the tip to her neck with a quiet gasp.
I am going to sweep for bases.
The whole island, Harry frowned. That could take weeks.
I can scry,
she rasped.
It is a family gift.
Scrying, he murmured. How does it work?
Intuition,
she whispered.
It is old blood magic, inherited from Roman ancestors. The strange gift a dead girl can use, but I cannot.
Lestrange, Harry murmured.
Once upon a time.
Vera pulled back her hood. A lattice of scar tissue stood out on the right side of her face, twisting across high cheekbones and full lips. She caught his gaze with dark, heavy-lidded eyes.
Grindelwald wanted me for my gift. I used my beauty to bring many to our cause, blinded by his words. He took both my beauty and the voice I used to betray him.
Why tell me? He asked, holding up his ring. What happened to anonymity?
You were not Henri de Colmar,
she rasped.
There was no wizard by that name, I am sure.
So?
You hunt Le Cancrelat with passion,
Vere said.
I know that hate. It marred my face and stole my voice. It consumed me for years after I had to let Liliana Lestrange die to survive it. She swore an oath to never betray Grindelwald out of hate. And she broke it.
I don't hate Julian, Harry said. You misunderstand. I just need to stop him before he destroys everything I have.
I see.
Vera's scarred face contorted into a frown.
Would you share your name with me?
That man is dead, he replied. I had to let him die.
So is Liliana.
Vera whispered.
But sometimes now she is not. I heard her screaming as Noir repeated his words, and now she is so loud. I will cry for you. Liliana can find Noir if you let me share her screams with you.
Harry frowned. Must you have my name for that?
I will swear an oath. I just have to know who it is. Liliana's head is quiet for.
She pulled out her wand.
Is that enough?
I need to find Julian. Harry balled his fists and wrestled with a tight knot in his gut. If she swears, it's worth it, I think. We'll need Cromwellsy, he said, for the oath. If she says yes, I will do it. Fair pulled her hood back up and pressed the tip of her wand to the ring on her hand.
Cromwellsy?
She rasped. Gabby wavered into being in front of them. What is it? Fair wants to trade my name for her help in scrying Le Cancrelat, Harry said. She promised to swear an oath. Your name? Gabby's grey eyes darkened. Why? An oath like that will redefine everything about you. Nobody makes them for just a name. Nobody makes them at all.
Liliana's agony is less when he is here,
Vera muttered.
That pale wand you wield is one she knew well.
Harry exchanged a long look with Gabby. She extended her wand. Very well, but I will choose the terms of the oath. And this won't just be an unbreakable vow, though. You will swear on everything you are. No risks.
Everything I am.
Vera held out her hand.
That is acceptable.
Gabby's charcoal eyes lightened and her face softened.
Do you, Vera, swear to never share the name Violette tells you with anyone or express it in any way in which it might be known? To scry for Le Cancrelat to the best of your ability once you've heard Violette's name?
I do,
Vera whispered. A ribbon of white flame curled from the tip of Gabby's wand and looped around their wrists. Its chill bit through Harry to the bone. They shivered as it sank through their skin and faded. Gabby put her wand away.
I'm going to go home and talk to my sister.
Harry sighed. She's going to be angry with me.
Probably, she replied. She was trying to get into a jar of olives when I left her and was very annoyed she couldn't get the lid off, so this is bound to set off a full fiery tantrum.
Can't you just use her wand?
I'll tell her if you like, he said.
No. Gabby shook her head.
Meet us at the cafe when you and Vera are done. I will buy her cake to calm her down.
She vanished. Vera slid her hood back.
Tell me, Violette, who are you to hold his wand?
Harry pulled the ring off his finger. Harry Potter. A short hiss slipped through Vera's lips.
You died.
Her dark eyes narrowed.
Sarsay, she shows death for you.
I survived. He slipped the ring back on. Will you scry for me now? Vera nodded, dark veins spread across her scars like blood trickling over her eyes.
Liliana lives and burns and screams and scries for you.
Merci, Liliana.
Do not become Liliana,
Vera rasped as the dark scars clawed a little further into her smooth skin.
See how she suffers for her hatred?
A I've had my fill of hate, he murmured. All I want is love. There pulled her hood back up.
Love and hate will leave you scarred, just as badly as each other. Liliana knows.
Harry stood. Call me when your scrying finds him. She nodded.
I will.
He pictured the cobbles outside Madame Antoinette's and wrenched the world back past him until he stepped into the cafe. Fleur sat in the corner of their normal booth, her eyes black as pitch. Harry slipped off his ring and drifted across, holding his breath.
Maman?
Fleur's dark eyes bored into his. Sharing our precious secrets with Vera, I heard. Out of necessity, he said. But yes, pardon.
Gabby explained, she snapped.
I did not like it, mon coeur. It seemed like a good trade, Harry replied, sliding into the seat beside her. But I don't particularly like it either.
She cannot share it, Gabby said. Her magic is full of pain and hate and despair. I've sensed it only recently, only since Harry joined us.
Fleur's eyes narrowed.
Is she? Why does she react to you so strongly?
Are you jealous? Harry snorted. Don't be.
Harry.
Gabby nudged his ankle with her foot.
Tell us.
She is Liliana Lestrange.
Fleur sucked in a sharp breath.
Where is Liliana Lestrange?
Yes, I think she fought for Grindelwald and later betrayed him out of hatred.
Liliana Lestrange was the last Lestrange in France, Fleur said. She's famous for killing the rest of her family and siding with Grindelwald.
For the first years before his second war, she was his left hand, Gabby said. She betrayed him out of nowhere at one of his rallies, telling those who gathered to hear him against him and trying to kill him. Everyone thought she died in the attempt.
She betrayed him out of hate, Harry said, and she was cursed because of it. She let Liliana die somehow and escape the curse, but my wand...
Grindelwald had it, Fleur murmured. She recognized it.
Julian borrowed some of his words for his speech in Palma, I think, Harry said.
Liliana came back between hearing that and seeing the yellow wand, but I think her curse is tied to the wand.
She said it hurts less when I'm there.
Abstract magic? Fleur wrinkled her nose.
Some kind of soul magic?
Most oaths are, Gabby said. They're bound to the identity of the one who swears them and will even change that identity to ensure they're upheld. From what we read before Harry returned, it sounds like soul magic.
They glanced up at him.
Harry nodded.
I think so.
He slid the elder wand and balanced it in his palm.
Grindelwald probably bound her oath to this wand in case she managed to kill him.
Just to make sure her curse was inescapable, Gabby shuddered.
How cruel.
Perhaps not in the end, Harry said, slipping it back into his sleeve as the waiter came over. If it's bound to the wand, then it's bound to the master of the wand. He must have assumed she would be the master of the wand if she killed him, and whatever conditions he used to bind it, they clearly don't hold as strongly with me as its master.
I don't think her curse troubled her while Dumbledore had it either.
Something to do with her hate, maybe, Harry murmured.
I don't know, it doesn't matter, we can't change it.
No, we cannot. Fleur shuffled back into her cushions as three bowls of clavotis appeared before them.
Really, Gabby?
There's no such thing as too much, Gabby chirped, digging in with her spoon.
Yes, there is, Fleur muttered, patting the top of the stomach. I have too much baby in me and I want it out.
To my months, Gabby beamed and slid her bowl out of Fleur's reach.
Then it's my turn.
Fleur twitched and wrinkled her nose.
The baby heard that and is now kicking in rage.
Oh, it's excited to have a half-sibling, Gabby said. Harry tugged the third bowl of clafoutis in front of himself.
Fleur and Gabby stared.
What are you doing, Mama? Fleur asked. For some ludicrous reason, I just assumed the third bowl was for me, the third person. He sighed and pushed it back in between them, clearly a moment of madness on my part.
You'll forgive him, Uncle, Gabby said.
Fleur elbowed her in the ribs.
No, mine. Not ours or yours or anyone else's, mine.
Gabby giggled. I think I'm making progress.
I really don't think you are, Harry replied. In fact, I think she might actually be getting more possessive.
That is your fault, Fleur muttered, for loving it so much.
Guilty as charged, Monreux, Harry murmured,
leaning across to press a light kiss to her cheek.
Two things.
Gabby demolished the last of her clafouti and cut a line down the middle of the third.
First,
do not say Villes is a threesome. Fleur watched the spoon slide through the clafouti like a hawk and stuck hers in the larger half of the broad smirk.
Mine.
Gabby pouted.
You could not have both, Fleur. Either no threesome and the large part is mine, or threesome and the large part is yours.
Fleur stuck her nose in the air and a heaped spoonful of clafouti into her mouth.
I am married to a child, Harry said. A sugar-addicted, flame-throwing, feathery child.
You are. And she's about to give you a second one, who'll be just as bad or worse, Gabby said.
Fleur is lucky. I actually wanted to talk about your secret project.
La Victoire Fidna, he murmured.
Fleur swallowed, licking her lips clean.
We have not got very far, little chick.
But we should think about it, Harry whispered. Le Coquelin, Neville, Ver, Britain, the United States, France. Someone will try and take something away from us eventually.
How far have you got? Gabby asked.
An idea, Fleur said. Harry does not think he or we would be able to make a horcrux.
It has to be entirely selfish, he said. You kill someone purely for your own gain. It's part of the ritual of the piece of magic, a sacrifice of innocence and a demonstration of powerful intent for magic strong enough to anchor your soul.
Gabby's expression darkened.
And you made one? Why?
Gabriel, Fleur snapped. Would you have rather he'd not returned?
Accidentally, he whispered. I was one.
I was going to die for everyone. I thought that was what I should do. But after the Yule Ball, I was so sick of being used and thrown away, so angry and full of hate that I changed my mind and ripped out the fragment of Voldemort's soul instead. I did it just for me, to be free, no matter what. And I think that was enough.
Who?
Gabby asked.
Peter Pettigrew, Harry said.
A servant of Voldemort and the one who betrayed my parents to him. You found his body in the Forbidden Forest.
She shuddered.
I remember the feel of that magic. Gabby squirmed. I cannot do that.
Neither can I. He bounced the tip of his ebony wand on his palm. Not anymore. It's magic for those with no dreams left.
We want to do something similar, Fleur said.
Create an anchor, but with a non-selfish purpose, so we come back to each other.
I could do that, Gabby murmured.
But what about the body? We kept Harry's body at the Hogwarts, but if we'd not...
Harry exchanged a glance with Fleur.
We hadn't gotten that far.
We will need a way to make one, Fleur said. After dying, we need to return and have a body. I will be very upset if my husband is stuck as a ghost. There are things I would miss.
Me too, Gabby said.
Fleur will sulk and be all birdie.
Fleur rolled her eyes.
A baby is not having a ghost for a father.
Is it a boy or a girl?
Gabby asked.
You have not said.
I haven't checked.
Gabby blinked.
I haven't even thought about checking.
It would be a perfect surprise, Fleur said. Although we do still need to choose names.
Gabriel,
Gabby chirped.
Still no?
Fleur shook her head.
I'm not using one of our names. I want them to have their own name.
Harry opened his mouth.
No.
But I hadn't even said...
No bird puns,
he chuckled.
It might not have been a bird pun,
Fleur laughed, but it was, no?
I was going to say raven, he said. I'm running out of good ones.
Gabby snickered.
It's okay, more and more. We'll name our baby Gabriel Raven Delico.
There's not going to be another baby, Fleur muttered.
Not from me, and certainly not from you, little chick, so close your beak.
Worried about what it will do to you?
Gabby dipped her spoon back into her half of the clafouti.
If you drink the potions and use the charms, there's almost no after effects, I looked.
Why were you looking?
Fleur narrowed her darkening eyes.
Gabrielle? For you, poor brain.
Gabby waved her spoon at Fleur.
I know what you're like. You probably looked at them and decided to take all of them but the ones that reduce the pain. Fleur turned her nose up and set her spoon down in the empty half of the third bowl. "I knew it," Gabby crowed. "I knew you'd be silly. Now, two potions, they lessen the pain because they alter the properties of the muscles you need to push the baby through."
"I do not mind if it hurts," Fleur said.
"The more, but they also reduce the chances of anything getting stretched or torn, so things are more likely to go back to how they were."
Gabby held her thumb and forefinger up in a ring, tightening the circle.
"What you were worrying about, no?"
Fleur's brow creased.
"You are sure?"
A hot rush of gratitude flooded Harry, and he flashed Gabby a small smile.
"Absolutely sure," Gabby winked at him. "It's one thing to endure how much it hurts. It's another to take reckless risks that might lead to Harry getting disappointed."
A glimmer of mischief appeared in her gray eyes.
"Although, if he does get disappointed, he'll come running to the innocent embrace of your much cuter baby sister."
He snorted. "There's nothing innocent about you."
"Fine," Fleur sighed. "I will take those two as well. I do not want Harry to be disappointed and get tempted by Daphne Greengrass."
Harry shook his head. "I've not seen her in almost 2 years, and I barely spoke to her then. She should really be much further down the murder list."
"Well, Gabrielle, then."
Fleur crossed her arms over the swell of her stomach and glowered.
"You see and speak to her all the time."
"She keeps pestering me," he grinned.
"Something to do with helping her through her Vela maturity, or she'll go mad?" "She showed me this highly accurate Vela romance book with your name written inside the cover between little flowers and hearts, so I know it's a real thing."
Fleur's lips twitched.
"That counts as a laugh." Harry stole the last spoonful of claffet tea and reveled in the sweet taste of cherries.
"Wasn't there a second thing, Gabby?"
"That was the potions," she replied. "The potions to stop Fleur being silly and La Victoire Finale, that was it."
"I don't know where to go with La Victoire Finale," Harry said. "If we knew exactly what we wanted, I could design the runes, use blood magic, and set it up at the price. What could I possibly sacrifice that would be worth keeping our sunset forever?"
He smothered the searing whisper of the amber-masked figure and touched a finger to his wand.
"A piece of me? I'm not sure that's even close to enough."
"I still need to finish the pensive," Gabby said. "I will look into creating a body once I'm done making the last few tweaks to that."
"You should do the soul and sacrificial magic part, mon coeur," Fleur said. "That is the part you're best suited to."
"Abstract magic," he managed a small smile. "That is my area of expertise. I do probably need to help Ver with the time magic a bit from time to time and hunt down a Canquillar too."
"Gabby and I will help you design the runes once we've established the rest," Fleur said.
"And I will look through everything this uncle knew have on deaths once the baby is out of me and I'm able to operate again."
2 months, Gabby chirped. "And then we will have a mini Fleur or a mini Harry."
"You'll be Auntie Gabby," Harry said, "at 18.
A jolt of cold rushed through him.
"I'm technically only 17. I'm so young. Even my parents weren't this young."
"No," Fleur kicked him in the shin. "No cold feet?" "It is too late, more and more. You put the baby in me and now it is here to stay."
Gabby sniggered under her breath.
"Oh yes, it was all Harry's idea."
"Hush, little chick."
Fleur's cheeks turned a little pink.
"I told him it wasn't a safe day,"
he snorted. "Afterward. You told me that afterward."
"You did not mind.
You said you saw a little girl in the mirror of Era Zed," Fleur said. "And it is your own fault you are not older. If you had not died for a year, it would not be so bad."
"I definitely don't mind."
A rush of warmth swept through him.
"I have a family. Intimacy."
He caught the soft glint in Gabby's gray eyes and glanced away.
"Things I wished for when I was younger. Perfect wishes. Ones I thought could never come true."
He blinked back tears and cupped the gentle silver glow of his wedding ring against his heart.
"Until now."
For the text of this and other stories, visit alltheblankcanvas.com, as well as patreon.com/theblankcanvas. Music by As I Walk Into the Abyss Blinded. QA assistance by Sakiko and Ohana. If you would like to commission me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch using the contact information on my website, which is located at sangabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as links to my Patreon page, to which I hope you consider subscribing to support me, and my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.